Good afternoon and welcome to our ILC Lunchtime Conversation. This is part of the ILO's Future of Work podcast series, broadcasting live from the International Labour Conference in Geneva. So you know that each day we explore a key topic of the world of work with guests from around the globe who share their insight and their own experiences. Today on World Environment Day, we're tackling a critical question. How can government ensure the shift to greener economies, which is fair, create jobs, and leaves no one behind? A just transition isn't just about climate action. It's about workers, it's about communities, and social justice. It means decent jobs, protected livelihoods, and real social dialogue as economies transform. So today we'll dive into four key issues. Number one, how to turn those green transitions into quality jobs, why social dialogue must drive climate planning, the ILO's role in strengthening national climate plans, and of course, what's next on the global stage. So joining us today, four amazing guests making this happen. Let me start with Mustafa Kamal Gay, the director, the ILO Director of Action Program on Just Transition. We have next to him Mrs. Mayra Lacerda. You're the head of the Special Advisory for International Affairs, the Ministry of Labor and Employment from Brazil. Mr. Ali Abay, Director General of Foreign Affairs and EU, the Ministry of Labor and Social Security, Turkey. And Mrs. Soha Sarwat, environment expert from the mission, permanent mission of Egypt to the UN here in Geneva. Welcome to this lunch conversation. Let's get straight to it. Let's see what a just transition look like in practice. Mustafa, let me start with you. The ILO's just transition guidelines are, of course, a blueprint, but how they are actually changing lives? Can you give us concrete examples where this principle turn into real jobs or worker protection on the ground?
Thank you very much, Gwebre. I first should say the ILO guideline for just transition, they are a sort of a blueprint that was adopted by the tripartite constituents, representatives of governments, workers and employees organizations. And importantly, last in 2023, the International Labour Conference endorsed these guidelines as the reference document and basis for action. The guidelines and the principles they embody ensure that when countries take action to tackle climate and environmental change, that they put job creation, the protection of workers and their communities, the sustainability of business assets so that we have enterprises that are in business and the economies that function are there. And these are essential enablers for the climate ambition itself. So this is now being taken up in many forms. You know, Brazil in its G20 presidency led to adoption of voluntary principles on energy transition, picking a lot from the guidelines. A number of countries where the ILO work, which are really at the forefront of the transition to sustainability, whether it is Indonesia or South Africa in their JETP, the Just Energy Transition Policies, build on these principles, but also countries that are highly vulnerable, but smaller economies like Somalia and others. So these guidelines are really moving from being blueprint to a real instrument of action from around the world, from large to small economies.
Very good. So you mentioned a couple of countries. Mayra, if I come to you, Brazil green economy is really booming. We're talking about solar, biofuels, reforestation. But we also know that growth doesn't always mean good jobs. So what's one policy or project in Brazil that is proving green jobs can also be decent jobs?
Thank you for asking that. And it's a pleasure for the government of Brazil being invited and being part of such an important conversation. First of all, Brazil has been doing and working on green energy for quite some time now. We have the majority of energy in Brazil is a clean energy. And of course, to guarantee that the workers are protected when working in this type of energy, we have for quite some time a lot of laws. But it's important to mention that we have established a law on social and solidarity economy, which are going to foster small corporations, and it's going to empower the workers through social dialogue. And most of these workers working, they are working in agricultural properties, small ones, or they are producing their own art or something. So we were working that they are protected in a way that we are fostering circular economy. So that's one of the policies we are working on right now to protect workers and green jobs.
Okay, great example from Brazil. Let me turn now to Turkey. Obviously, Turkey's energy transition is also moving fast. But what's one Turkey is doing differently to make sure workers are not just retain, but actually thrive in your green jobs?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And I congratulate you all for the World Environment Day. And it is a very timely discussion. And I'm happy to be here with you on behalf of the government of the Republic of Turkey. And as you mentioned, Turkey is transforming into a more green energy transition. And I would like to start by giving a concrete and personal example. My hometown is 5 kilometers away from the capital where we live. And on driving home, driving my hometown, I used to see coal energy or thermic centrals that produce electricity. But now, nowadays, I happen to see windmills with solar energy fields. So it has been transforming very rapidly. But this also means that this transition will eliminate some jobs, but also create some new jobs. So having these new jobs as decent jobs, proper jobs, and also secure jobs is quite important. And there are some mechanisms in Turkey that we try to ensure that this transition is fair and just. Therefore, it is not a singular policy area, but it is a comprehensive reform area. So it should be coordinated not only within the government or within the country, but at the global level. And the global initiatives are quite important. So it is very good that we meet here. And we also have the National Development Plan, which covers the following 5 years. And this plan, one of the objectives of this plan is a competitive production with green and digital transformation. Because Turkey as an emerging economy should also be competitive enough to continue the global trade. But at the same time, these jobs should also be decent jobs. So finding the right tune is quite important in this regard.
Okay, so thank you for sharing Turkey's example. And we'll talk about the international cooperation a little bit later. Soha Sarwat from Egypt, let me turn to you now. Obviously, your country has a very ambitious push in terms of renewable energy. Can you share how Egypt is turning perhaps social protection into real words, real safety nets maybe, and also the social impacts?
And good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for having me today with the esteemed speakers to discuss this timely and enduring topic, definitely. First of all, like Egypt is now trying to boost a lot of its work to be like an energy hub for the renewable energy, for different renewable energies, whether it's solar energy, wind energy, or even green hydrogen. And this would definitely create a lot of green sustainable jobs for thousands of people in Egypt. And I want to tackle here our national climate change strategy for 2050. We adopted the climate change strategy in 2022, and it's first goal is achieving sustainable economic growth and low emission development in different aspects of life. And that's why Egypt now is aiming to boost the contribution of renewable energy and electricity generation to reach almost 42% of all electricity generation in Egypt by 2035, especially with solar energy would contribute with almost 25% for that and wind energy 14%. And in 2019, Egypt also established something called Benban, planet, solar planet, and it's considered the fourth largest solar planet in the world, and that composed of 41 solar smaller planets that has capacity to generate almost 50 megawatt of electricity, clean electricity. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you. So we just seen your experiences of all those countries and the expertise, of course, of the ILO. Let's now move perhaps to the global cooperation, international cooperation, and maybe social dialogue. Mustafa, let me get back to you again. How's the ILO supporting countries to include social dialogue in their climate and energy transition plans?
Well, social dialogue is very important. And, you know, in the world of work, we know it. And we, with our tripartite constituents, but what we in the office do when we go out on behalf of the organization is to engage in multilateral environmental processes and to bring that notion of the voice of workers, employees and those organizations and ministries of labor. So I'm here just coming yesterday from the Hamburg Sustainability Conference, which was convened by the government of the Chancellor of Germany. Last year, with the Director General of the ILO, there was the launch of what is known as a call to action for social dialogue to achieve just transitions. It was signed by the ILO, representative of employees, workers' organizations, and government of Germany, represented by Minister of Development Cooperation. And since this has grown into a 10-country project, where we are now working with 10 member states in collaboration with BMZ to support giving effect to that notion of social dialogue, as countries design their NDCs, the nationally determined contributions on climate change, but also broader social policy. And I just want to end by saying that this notion is growing. You know, just 2 days ago, we got the Presidential Climate Commission of South Africa to sign the call to action and join us in this commitment to social dialogue. So these are some of the activities that we carry in this area.
Good. So we go straight to Brazil then. What happened on the ground? What role does social dialogue play in Brazil's approach to ensuring that no one is left behind in energy transition?
Thank you for your question. First of all, social dialogue is part of the tradition in Brazil. We are very proud to say that we have, for instance, a permanent council called the National Labor Council, which is a tripartite council that review and proposes laws. And of course, they're doing this with climate, labor, relation, related issues. Tripartite consultations, it's very important for Brazil, and we are working right now in our national climate change plan, and the workshops always involves government, employers, and workers. So this is very, very important for us, for everybody to be part of the conversation, so as you said, nobody would be left behind. So also we have local engagement, which is very important for us. For instance, we have pilot community-led dialogues and pilot projects. One of those I can give you an example is called Vida Após Resgate, which means a life after rescue. And it's basically in Bahia, one of our states. And there we have totally organic farms, no toxic, no waste, in a cooperative organized way. And they are composed by workers that were rescued from labor from forced labor, and of course they have all the qualifications and the training they need to be working on the land and producing their own things. So basically, that's what's happening in Brazil regarding that right now.
Good, very good concrete example. So let me turn to Turkey. what practical steps Turkey is actually taking to make this happen? The same question around social dialogue.
Thank you. Yeah, protecting environment would not be possible without an effective social dialogue. So there are some mechanisms in Turkey as well, within the government and also with the social partners. So the Economic Coordination Board and also Investment Promotion Board are conducting these issues, including the environmental protection issues. But also within our ministry, we have tripartite advisory board, which is very important to ensure effective social dialogue. And this also covers the environmental protection issues and the jobs being affected through climate change. So also as at the sectoral level, we have also established a working group on just transition policies within the ministry with the participation of the social partners so that we can deal this issue effectively. Within the ministry, we implement active labor market policies, of course, develop and recycling programs and also adaptation of vocational education curricula to these climate change issues to reflect green skills. And also we try to develop regulatory framework and improve our legislation to this direction. And also we have to ensure workers access to the new opportunities. And all these could only be possible through effective social dialogue. And such mechanisms help to ensure effective social dialogue. And thanks to the ILO, by setting international norms and standards on this particular issue, we also work closely with the ILO to ensure effective social dialogue so that these jobs, these new jobs are decent jobs and to leave no one behind. Our ministry is preparing Turkey's first national just transition strategy, which will be announced in next year, in 2026. And hopefully this will help us to include NDCs for Turkey as well. This strategy will help to develop these. And also I would like to say finally that Turkey is a member of the Global Coalition for Social Justice, a founding member, and we are also participating at the coordination group as a government representative. And we actively contribute to the Just Transition's key intervention, which is quite important. So these all prove that Turkey is keen on this particular issue, not at the national level, but also at the global level. Thank you.
So thank you for sharing those examples, concrete examples at the national level. And you also mentioned some international cooperation. My question to you, Soha, would be, of course, what does Egypt expect from international cooperation and maybe from the upcoming UN report to support just transition?
It's a very difficult question. Let me start with my portfolio. Actually, I cover here environment, climate change, and development separately. But I see like they are overly interconnected. So this is our starting point. Environment and development nexus. So we need to have just transition, climate justice that leaves no one behind, prioritize decent works, protecting livelihoods, and not putting pressure on economic growth. Especially the developing countries nowadays are suffering a lot from many challenges in that regard. So we need to keep emphasizing climate justice that's like embedded on that ancient principle of common but differentiated responsibilities and respective capabilities of countries, and to call all countries to fulfill their pledges and their commitments to enable developing countries to be able to fulfill their own commitments in climate action as well. And this couldn't be happened without proper and adequate climate finance, technology transfer is safe, clean, and feasible and accessible as well, and capacity building in that regard. So this is what we aim that all the international community will consolidate its effort to achieve someday soon.
Okay, thank you. So basically, what it means is that nobody can do it really alone, okay? Both nationally, that means social dialogue is important for just transition, energy transition, and also the international cooperation, okay? On that note, that's all for today's episode that we have. Thank you for listening. We hope you'll join us again for more conversation on the key issues shaping the world of work. Don't forget to follow us on social media for updates and insight. We're on X at ILO. We are Facebook, on LinkedIn, Instagram, and YouTube. Until next time, take care and goodbye from all of us at the ILO.